5-year-olds, those that are serving with you tonight. I appreciate that. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, now's your time to escape the service. If somebody gets up and tries to leave that does not look 3, 4, or 5, tackle them and ask them for a show of ID tonight, okay? 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, thank you so much for those serving with you tonight. I began a little series a week or two ago now on the gift of God's grace. You're in Acts chapter 20. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 3 just to get our title. This is part 3 to this little series that I've been doing with you that I've entitled The Gift of God's Grace. Are you thankful for God's grace tonight? Say amen. I'd tell you, where would we be without the amazing grace of God? And this is what we're studying together. Took a little break from that this morning, but we're coming back to this study tonight. In Ephesians chapter 3, I know you're in Acts chapter 20. Just wait for me there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me." Just that phrase, the gift of the grace of God. One of the most amazing gifts that's ever been given is the gift of God's amazing grace. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together we continue with this thought. Father, help us tonight, I pray. Challenge us and help us to get as far as you'd have us to go in this sermon. I confess again before these dear people and before you that I need your help. I can't do this without you. And I pray that you help me to be a clean vessel tonight. May there be nothing hindering you. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to be clean. And may you deal with us thoroughly tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of God cannot be adequately defined by man. But here are a couple of man's attempts to describe the grace of God. One person said, "Grace is the unmerited and spontaneous favor of God, not produced by anything outside God, but coming out of the heart of God." Somebody else said, "Grace is God's favor and kindness for those who do not deserve it and cannot earn it." And there's no way we can accurately describe the grace of God. As a matter of fact, in another portion of Scripture, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible calls it the manifold grace of God. The word manifold means having many and various forms. It means having many and various features or parts. It means to have a combination of diverse or different elements. The bottom line is God's grace is infinite. It's deeper than the ocean. It's wider than the sea. It's farther than the east is from the west. You cannot measure it. You cannot describe it. You cannot exhaust it. You cannot surpass it. You cannot outlive it. And you cannot live without it. Thank God for His manifold grace tonight. Thank God for His manifold unmerited favor in our lives, the gift of the grace of Almighty God. Where would we be if God was not a gracious God? As a matter of fact, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, the book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and 2 Peter, all of those books begin and end with God's grace. It's a great picture that the Christian life, from beginning to end, is all of the grace of Almighty God. We've been looking at God's grace and several things that we've been studying together. First of all, I'm just going to tap this on the head because I'm coming to Acts chapter 20. The first thing we noticed was its revelation. And let me just simply say this, because I've already preached on this in detail. You can go back and get it if you'd like to do so. But the revelation of God's grace, it is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is God's grace? He was born in a manger. Some 2,000 years ago, He died on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again. His name is Jesus. The second thing we're looking at about God's amazing grace, the gift of God's grace, is we're noticing not only its revelation, but number two, its results. There are several of them we've already given you. Let me tap these on the head. First of all, the first result that we have because of the grace of God is we have warning of coming judgment. We saw that in Genesis chapter 6 that God warned Noah of coming judgment because Noah found grace in his eyes. The second thing we have as a result of God's grace, not only do we have warning of coming judgment, in other words, it's the grace of God that warns us that if you do not trust Christ, it is destruction. That is God's grace to warn us of that judgment coming. Second thing that we have is salvation. In other words, there is a way to escape the wrath of Almighty God. Third thing we have because of God's grace is God's presence. That Moses said, if you don't go with us, carry us not up hence. But God said, because you found grace in my sight, I'm paraphrasing, He said, I'm going to go with you, Moses. You know, I don't know what I would do if just every now and then, like this morning, I didn't feel the presence of God every now and then. It's a blessing to feel the presence of Almighty God being with you, walking through life. We know God's in us, but it's good when He manifests Himself and He comes close to you and you feel His presence. That's the grace of God. That's one of the results of God's grace. The next result was provision of God. We saw that in the story of Ruth. The next is communion with God. We saw that with Gideon in Judges chapter 6. The next is gifts to serve God in Romans chapter 12. And then the final thing that we've looked at so far was the gift here of God's grace allows us to be included in God's wonderful plan in Matthew chapter 1. One woman, Mary, two men, David and Abraham, three eras and four outcasts. Now we come to the next result. And you're there in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. You'll look at this. Here's the next result of God's grace. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what all it means. But it sounds real good. Look at chapter 20, verse 32. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of His what? There it is. To the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Here it is now. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Here's the next result of God's gift of grace. It's inheritance among the sanctified. In other words, he says that right here that he's commending him to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build them up and to give them an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, folks, nobody can fully explain what that means. You don't know what that means. I don't either. But it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, there are some people who get upset if they don't have an inheritance. What about my inheritance? May I say this to you here? Who cares about earthly inheritance? But for a child of God, because of God's grace, you have an inheritance with the sanctified. What does that mean? I don't know, but I'm glad I'm going to find out one of these days. You know, let me tell you why I'm going to find out? Because of the grace of Almighty God. In Titus chapter 3, verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Because of His grace, I have an inheritance on the other side. Let me give you something else that's a result of God's gift of grace. And this is what I simply call ability. In other words, able to do things. I want you to turn up into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we're going to be turning to several passages of Scripture tonight, because I want you to see this. This is a Bible study. This is a topical study where you turn to different parts of Scripture, but you're dealing with the same topic. The topic is God's grace. And we see that because of God's grace, we have ability. Let me give you several things we have ability to do here. Number one, under this, we have ability to work. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, it says, but by the grace of God, there it is, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. In other words, Paul's saying this, I worked hard and I labored more than anybody else, but it wasn't me that was doing that. It was God's grace doing that in me. You know what's a blessing? To be able to get out of bed and do something for God. That's a blessing. By the way, prayer is hard work. I mean, I say this to you. Let me give you a blessing today. I had a blessing this week. Good night alive. Visited with Mrs. Benna. She requested that I come by and see her, and me and Danny Jenkins went by to see her. She's laying there. She's pretty much bedridden. And she's laying there, and there's certain people that you get around, and you know God is on them. I think you know what I mean when I say that, right? She's laying there, and we're getting ready to go, and Brother Danny's talking to her, and she begins to weep. And she said, I just want to go home. I just want to go be with Jesus. I felt God in that room. God broke me, and I began to weep myself. You know you got to cry, baby, for a pastor. You know that, right? I began to weep, and I got right in her face, and I said, Miss Ben, I'm paraphrasing. I said, let me tell you something that I'd like for you to do. I said, I want you to lay there and pray for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I want you to pray for us and ask God to touch the ministry, because God may be leaving you here just so you can pray. That's hard work. Did you know that? That's why a lot of people don't do it. Amen. Prayer's work. Being able to get up and do something for God, that's work. No doubt about it. The work of God is not for lazy people. Can I get an amen there, please? It's hard work to do something for God. But the only reason we have the ability to do anything is because of God's grace. It's the grace of God that allows me to get up and preach. It's the grace of God that allows me to pray. It's the grace of God that gives me the ability to do anything for God. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God gives His grace so that we may work for Him. Let me ask you a question. Are you using God's gift of grace to work for Him or work for yourself? Challenging question, isn't it? There's a lot of people who take God's gift of grace and waste it on themselves. When I should take God's gift of grace and use the ability He's given me to serve Him and please Him with my life. We have the gift of God's ability to work. Secondly, we have the gift of God's ability to serve Him acceptably. In Hebrews chapter 12, some of these I'll have you turn with me, but some of them I won't. You don't need to turn to this one. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, here's what it says. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know what this tells me? It is possible to serve God unacceptably. If God's word says you can serve Him acceptably, then doesn't it stand to reason that you can also serve Him unacceptably? And I want you to know, I have a desire, and I trust you do too, that when I serve God, that God accepts my service. That it is acceptable service in His sight. That I'm not just serving Him just to ease my conscience. No, I'm serving Him out of my heart, out of a pure motive to please Him, because He's been good to me and I want it to be acceptable service. And anytime it's acceptable service, it's only God's grace that allows that to happen. See, it's all of grace, none of me, you see. Nobody's going to get to heaven and say, look what I did. No, no, no. It's going to be, look what God's grace did in my life. And that doesn't just apply to salvation. That applies to service. We see this right here, that God said that it's His grace that allows us to serve Him acceptably. We're looking at just this ability, this result of just being able to do some things. And I'm giving you three of them. First of all, it's just to work, to do anything for God. Secondly, is to serve Him acceptably with a smile on His face. Thirdly, is the ability just to live. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:12, it says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 calls it the grace of life. Take a breath. Take it in. Let it out. That's God's grace. Think about it. Think about it. Your heart is beating tonight because of God's grace. You're able to live tonight because of God's grace. Are you starting to see how pride must be a stench in the nostrils of God? When weak, puny human beings just act as if they don't need God at all, and yet God's allowing their heart to pump blood through their chest and through their body. And the Bible says that our breath is in the hand of Almighty God, and we live as if we don't even know Him and don't even care anything about Him. God help us, friends. I'm telling you that I'm able to live tonight. I'm alive tonight by the grace of Almighty God. It's God's grace that I'm living. It's God's grace that you're living. Here's the point. We can't do anything without the grace of God.
Nothing. It is God's grace that allows us to work. It's God's grace that allows us to serve God acceptably. It's God's grace that just allows us to live, period, which covers it all. That's one of the major results of God's grace. Let me give you three more of these. Three more results. Here's a big one that everybody needs at different times of life. Some of you need this tonight. Some of you may not need it necessarily tonight, but it may be tomorrow when you need it. Here's another great result of God's grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I call this help in time of need. Aren't you glad for that one? I'm talking about when there's a time of need, God's grace is enough to see you through that need. Somebody may be saying, you don't understand how big my need is. You may be right maybe I don't understand. But I do understand this, that your need is never further than God's grace can reach. And it's never heavier than God's grace can bear. That whatever it is, God's grace can give you help in time of need. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, notice it. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a thorn stuck in your side? I'm talking in spiritual terms, and it's beating the daylights out of you. I mean, it just seems like constantly. Just beating the living daylights out of you. I mean, it's painful, it hurts, you don't want it, you can't get it out. And here Paul is, and he says, this is the message, the messenger of Satan is what this is. Satan's laughing at me. He sent me a messenger here. And the Bible says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I beg God. Hey, you tell me that these folks who say, if you don't get your prayers answered, then something's wrong with your life. Hogwash. Garbage. Now I will say this, sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because there is something wrong in our life. The Word of God teaches that in Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me tell you what that means. If you know it's there and you'd leave it alone and you refuse to do anything about it, don't pray. God's not listening to you. But just because God does not answer your prayer with a yes does not mean necessarily that there's sin in your life. It could be that God is trying to show you something about His grace, that this is the only way that you're going to learn it. Even when it's a messenger of Satan doing it. Here's what he says. I besought the Lord thrice, it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. May I tell you what the Lord said right there? Paul said, I beg God three times, take it out, take it out, take it out. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, Paul, no. No. By the way, look here, please. This will help somebody. No is an answer just like yes is. That is an answer. God answered his prayers. It just wasn't with the one he wanted. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Flip over to Hebrews chapter number 4 with me. Hebrews chapter number 4. And look at verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. The Word of God puts it this way. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We're looking at another great result here of God's grace, that is help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You say, is that a true statement? Did he really suffer everything that I've suffered? Does he really understand no matter what I'm going through, he was tempted in that way? Look here, please. You believe the Bible, don't you? If you don't, why are you here? Say, my mama brought me. My dad, good for mom and daddy. Amen. But if you're old enough to bring yourself, why are you here if you don't believe the Word of God? By the way, if you don't believe all of it, why believe any of it? I'm glad that I don't have to pick and choose what I think I can trust that, but I'm not sure if I can trust that or not. Every word is inspired by Almighty God. And right here we see that the Bible says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what that means? He cares. He understands. He's touched when you are. When you cry, he cries. There's nothing, God will not look at you and say, what are you crying about? No. We serve a God just like he did with Mary whenever her brother was dead and he came into town and he saw her weeping. He knew what he was getting ready to do, but the Bible says Jesus wept. Let me tell you why he wept. Not because he's getting ready to perform a miracle. He was weeping because he was brokenhearted for one of his children. Aren't you glad God's like that? Honestly. The grace of God, he knows what you're going through. Now, notice verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? That's one of the names of his throne. What kind of throne does he sit on? It's a throne of grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Notice it now, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I ask you a question tonight. What's your need? What is your need? What do you really need from God? What do you really need that nobody else can help you with? What kind of a need do you have? I'm simply trying to tell you that based on the authority of God's word, God's grace can give you help in time of need. Whatever your need is, God's grace can see you through. That's a great result of the grace of God. Let me give you another one. Two more. Two more, brethren, and we're about done. I've got two more points after this. I'm just saying two more here, okay? The next result we have, 2 Thessalonians, if you'll turn with me there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. And that is, we have the result of everlasting comfort and hope. Everlasting comfort and hope. We see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation, that means comfort, and good hope through grace. It's through grace that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father, they love us, they've given us everlasting comfort, everlasting hope, that is through grace. It's through grace that the comfort that we have and the hope we have will not end with the grave. We've had some folks to pass away this year. We've got some folks who are struggling during this time of year and with good reason. And our heart goes out to them. We're praying for them and asking God to help them. And through this time, I'm glad that for a child of God, death is not the end. I'm glad that because of God's grace, there's not temporary comfort, there's everlasting comfort. That's what the Bible says here. There's not temporary hope, there's everlasting hope. It never ends. Let me give you the final one here, the final result. I call this security in Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 5 with me, the book of Romans chapter 5, and look at verse number 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. All of this is under the results of the gift of God's grace. We're just studying the gift of God's grace here around the time of Christmas when we're giving gifts and all of this. And one of the gifts that God gives to us is his grace. And we're studying this grace. We're looking at different results. When you open this gift, here's what you get. You get everlasting comfort and hope, help in time of need. You get all of these things. Here's the next one. You get security in Christ. You are secure in him. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are standing in God's grace. In other words, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, and I've preached a whole message on this, if you want to get it, you can go back and get it, and so on when you got saved, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were placed in Christ. You are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. It never changes. You're not in and out the next day. You're in for eternity. You are secure in Him. You are standing in God's grace. I like a story here that there was a large sum of money that was given to a man to give to a poor pastor. And thinking that the amount was too much to send at one time, this man forwarded just a portion along with a note that simply said, "More to follow." In a few days, the man received another envelope containing the same amount and with the same message, "More to follow." At regular intervals, there came a third and a fourth. In fact, they continued along with those cheering words until the entire sum had been received. Charles Spurgeon used this story to illustrate that the good things we receive from God always come with the same prospect of more to follow. He put it this way, and I quote, "When God forgives our sins, there's more forgiveness to follow. He justifies us in the righteousness of Christ, but there's more to follow. He adopts us into His family, but there's more to follow. He prepares us for heaven, but there's more to follow. He gives us grace, there it is, but there's more to follow. He helps us to old age, but there's still more to follow." He concluded, and I quote, "Even when we arrive in the world to come, there will still be more to follow." No wonder the songwriter wrote many years ago, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, has saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." These are just some, not all. This is not exhaustive. But these are some of the great results that we have because of the gift of God's grace. And let me move to the third major reason tonight. The third major point. The reason I said reason is that's the third point. It's reason. But anyway, we've noticed the gift of God's grace, its revelation. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. We've noticed its results, that when you get the gift of God's grace, you open that gift, you get all of these things from it. Now we look at the reason for the gift of God's grace. Doesn't it stand to reason? Why does God do this for us? We don't deserve this. Why did God send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us? Now, there's several reasons. I know He loves us and all. He's not willing that we should perish. But there's a great thought here. There's a reason God showed us grace. I want you to turn with me now to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm going to turn to about three passages here, maybe a little more, just depending on how the Lord will show us here. But Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read a little bit here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Word of God says this. Now, here's what we're searching for. See if you can find it. Why in the world would Jesus Christ come to show grace? Why in the world would He do that? That's the reason. What's the reason? Look at chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Of course, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace." Notice it now. Look at it. Verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Did you get it? Stay with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. If I'm going too fast for you, you don't have to turn. You can just listen here. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, again, we're looking for the answer. What's the reason for God's grace? Why did he send this grace? Why is he showing us grace? Why did Jesus come? What's the reason for it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling, of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. One more place, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13. The word of God says it this way here, 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, there it is, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now in all three passages there is a common theme. All three passages mentions the grace of God that brings salvation. I'm paraphrasing. And all three passages tells us why God shows grace. It is for his glory and it is for his honor. It is not for me. Now I just have to be a great I benefit eternally from it, okay? It is for me he died, right? For me he cried. I know it's for us, but we understand that the reason he did it is because he wants to be glorified. He wants to be honored. He wants to be praised. Show me somebody who's lost their praise, and I'll show you somebody who has forgotten the amazing grace of God. We need to praise him, glorify him, honor him. That's its reason. And that brings me to my fourth and final point of this little Bible study that we've done. We've noticed the revelation of the gift of God's grace. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've noticed the results of the gift of God's grace, that when God gives his grace, you open that package and all these great benefits come from it. We've noticed the reason for this gift of God's grace is for God's glory and God's honor. It's not that we honor ourselves, it's that we honor God and thank him for what he's done in our lives. Then a fourth and final thing is I call this the gift of God's grace, its recipient. In other words, who gets it? Offered to all, right? But who gets the grace of God? Who gets Jesus? There's a common theme here. Proverbs 3:34 says, he giveth grace unto the lowly. James 4:6, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, same thing. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The recipient of God's grace are those who humble themselves before God. And when they humble themselves and simply ask him for his grace, he has promised to give it. The one sin that plagues all of us is the sin of pride. There's no doubt about it. The one sin that keeps people from coming to Jesus
a majority of the time is the sin of pride. Wondering what somebody will think or what that person will think or what this person will think. But folks, when we get a glimpse of who we really are, that we are sinners before an all-holy God, that He is the all-holy, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal God that cannot dwell with sin. When we see that He is willing to come to us, to let us in, to give us access. Who are we to bow up in pride and act like we don't need it? Whether we realize it or not, there is not a moment in life, not a moment, not one moment in life that we do not need the grace of God. Not one moment. Because remember, we live by God's grace. We work by God's grace. It's all by God's grace. Our breath is in His hands. Our heart is beating because He's allowing it to. Our days have been numbered by God. He set our bounds that we will not pass. I don't know when my bounds are going to be coming. I don't know when I'm getting close to it. But I know this. I know I need God every day of my life. I cannot live without God's grace. There is no way, and honestly here, friends, I'm not just saying this. God knows I'm telling you the truth. I do not know how my marriage could get any better. I'm serious about that. I'm not kidding. My wife's sitting here. I hope she'd say the same thing. I don't know. But I know this. That's only by God's grace. And there's no way that I can be the husband to her unless God's grace helps me be the husband to her. There's no way she can be the wife to me that God wants her to be without the grace of God. There's no way that I can go and knock on somebody's door and try to point them to Jesus without God's grace giving me the ability to go do that. There's no way. All I'm saying today is, do we really understand that we really do need God? I mean, do you know that tonight? Look back on your life this week. Did you prove by your life, your devotions, your prayer life, the way you read the Bible, the way you sought God, did you prove that you need Him? Or did you live as if, I've got this, God. I can handle this. No. I'm going to tell you what God's looking for. He's looking for His children to get on their knees and say, God, I recognize something. I can't. I cannot do this. But I know Your grace can help me get it done. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come to the end of yourself? Are you willing to say, you know, I don't know fully if I understand all of this, but God is speaking to my heart tonight that I need His grace more than I ever have. Really, nobody can really say that and be truthful. You don't need God's grace more than you ever have, because we've always needed His grace the identical amount every day of our life. You know what I think would be good tonight? I'm doing this because I'm lazy. I don't want to get back. No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm doing this for emphasis. Some of you can't do this physically anymore, and God knows that. But whether you can do this physically or whether you can just do this spiritually in your heart, I think God desires to see bended knees tonight. To say, thank You for Your grace. And I'm bending on my knees tonight because I'm recognizing something. You don't need me, but I desperately need You. And I'm asking for Your grace. I'm going to tell you what God will do with a broken child of God who seeks His grace. He will give it to them. I need it. You do too. And I hope tonight, if somebody's here that's come to church, but you've never come to Christ, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, and by faith and faith alone, trust in Him and Him alone as your Savior, to come into your heart, forgive you, save you, change you. If you've never asked Him to come into your heart to forgive your sin, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Make today the greatest day of your eternity, and turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ, and make heaven your home tonight. And we who are saved, may we, even if it's not at the altar, may we at our seat humbly bow and truly humble ourselves and say, I need you. I need you. As we bow for a word of prayer, Brother Gary, I'm going to make a request, sir. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. This is the song, and this is really the push that the Lord is leading me for this invitation time. Of God's people, and even those who may not even be God's people, to get on their face and saying, I need you. I need you. Do you know that tonight? Do you recognize that tonight? When's the last time truly in brokenness, humility, sincerity, did you fall on your face, even if it's in your heart, to tell God that? I believe that's what He wants to hear tonight. God can give you strength and help and grace in this life. They're beginning to play through softly. Father, take it and use it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to have Brother Gary to begin to sing. And if you're here but you've never trusted Christ, come. Or if you want to come and just kneel and say, God, I need you. I recognize it. Give me grace that I need. As he sings, come now, would you please?
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
They're just playing through softly. I hope that you've made an altar of your seat there. Just telling the Lord, I need you. I can't do this. If you don't help me, there's no way I'll make it. Folks, that's the true statement. Even if your life is on the biggest mountain that you've ever been on. See, sometimes we're guilty of calling out to God when we have a great need. But folks, we have great needs even when we think we don't. We have a great need just to be able to breathe, to live, to serve. My Brother Gary, sing another verse. Just sensing the Lord here, and give the Lord some time. As he sings, there's still time for you. Come on, come talk to God.
I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Playing through softly. feel sorry for people that it takes so long for them to finally come to the realization of this message tonight. There's so many people who try so many things, and then when they fall flat on their face and have nowhere else but to look up, thank the Lord He's still there. They could have saved themselves so much heartache if they'd have just looked up first, recognized their need of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together, please. Let's sing this first verse again. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This is the closing prayer. The altar's still open. If you need to come, you come. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. When Brother Gary gets to the chorus, if you know it, sing it. If you don't, it's just, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I ask the Lord and make it a prayer to the Lord. By the way, don't lie to the Lord. He knows. He knows you need Him, but don't lie to Him. Don't sing it if you don't mean it. Let's sing it together, shall we?
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford.
Sing it. Let's sing it again.
I need thee, I need thee.
Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Look here, please. I'll tell you. I just sense the Lord, you know. Honestly, don't you know that's got to be a beautiful sound to God?
Amen.
It's got to be a beautiful sound when it comes from a sincere heart, a child of His calling out, saying, "I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you." Think about my own kids. If my own kids would come to me and say, "Daddy, I need you. I need you, Daddy." I'd move everything I could. Don't get in my way. I'm going to do everything I can to meet their need. Amen or not? Here's the thing. I have limits, but God doesn't.
Amen.
And when we say we need you, He can move heaven, earth, hell, and every demon in the way.
Amen.
To give you the help you need. Give Him praise tonight. Amen. Hey, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Forget the happy holiday stuff. Merry Christmas to you. Don't eat too much. And remember, if you have leftovers, remember your pastor. He's suffering greatly, okay? I'm kidding about that. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry Lovegrove, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray, sir, please.